Wow, we went everywhere.
That was fun.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is a loosey-goosey bonus episode. I'm Bethany Watson.
I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we're going to cover a broad swath of topics today, from the all-important what would you hide in your wall to I need a desk chair. What should I buy?
It's a Friday. It's snowing out. I don't know if you can see in the video that we're recording right now. There's a little bit of snow behind me in my window. I have a candle lit. Bethany, what are you doing to create some hygge in your kitchen studio right now?
So I have my window open just a crack. It looks out onto my patio, aka my fire escape.
You said just a crack.
And I have like some lighting to help even out my skin tone. Oh. But I can see the coziness from the windows. Yeah. So that's real nice.
And I have my mug.
You have, okay. So this is a couple episodes ago. We talked about, I don't remember the topic, but it was all the ways Kathleen is wasting her money, basically. And one of them was this $100 mug ? And it comes with an app.
Inventions that I'm mad that haven't yet been discovered to make my life easier. But one that has been invented is the Ember mug, which I charge it via this cute little coaster, which is a USB charger, and it keeps my coffee and my tea hot all day long via an app on my phone. I'm in control. I pick the specific temperature.
Okay.
I use it every day. Best invention ever. I spent $130.
$130?
I got the 14 ounce.
How long does it take you to drink something?
A long time. A long time.
What was that? Wait, there's a noise. Do you hear?
I don't hear.
Do you hear something ringing? There's something ringing on my end. What the hell is ringing?
It's your ears.
What is that? Wait, you don't hear that?
No, someone's talking about you.
No. It's a literal, like a phone is ringing, but I.
No.
Kathleen, are you serious?
Hang on. Neil? Neil, did the,
okay,
did
just
the phone ring?
What was
I
that?
He can't hear me. I can't hear him. That's the way a good marriage should work.
So I didn't get a phone call. This is what I heard.
Yeah.
Beep, bop, boop, boop, boop. Beep, bop, boop, boop, boop. And then a pause.
Oh.
Beep, bop, boop,
boop,
boop.
I know.
What is that?
I know what it is.
What is it?
That's hilarious. Bethany, you must have our email open and somebody, a taste bud was calling our voicemail hotline.
Dude, that scared the hell out of me. You can see how often I'm receiving our phone calls because I thought that maybe someone was in my house.
I picked up when a taste bud called the other day. I was like, hello, taste bud hotline.
It's like the Babysitter's Club.
Because I've always wanted to do it. And I did it. Finally, I was like, okay, I'm just going to pick up when someone calls. No one responded and they hung up.
I would have done the exact same thing. Wait, I'm going to see if we get a voicemail. I'm going to call out that taste bud right now who called while we were recording because that's great timing.
If someone could invent proper podcast hardware, we could patch them into this conversation.
I know. We want to do phone calls, but we don't know how. Okay, so do we want to start with the idea of desk chairs? What's going on?
Well, your chair has been creaking. Charlotte was like, Bethany, tighten your desk chair, please. I can hear it creaking when I'm editing the podcast.
I know. But it's a comfortable, it's velvet. It's not, it's,
oh,
I like
I can
it.
Hear it. But it's hold like it up so I can see it. Hold it up so I can see
it's
it.
It's not a proper desk chair.
Oh, your top is beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, look at that. I like it.
It's a kitchen counter velvet tufted royal blue something something. Yep. So it's not like a proper desk chair.
Oh, I don't have a proper desk chair either. I also have a velvet thing I got from Amazon.
Yeah, life is too short to not have a tufted something.
Yeah, and you know, it's nice and like wide so I can sit crisscross applesauce in it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Neil needs a new desk chair because his desk chair is very creaky. It's also hemorrhaging tiny little metal balls that get everywhere.
That's not good for your cats.
No, it's definitely not good for the cats. We're constantly vacuuming these things up. It's from West Elm. Got it like 5 years ago. It hasn't lasted. And so I went onto the Taste Bud Facebook fan group and I was like, ladies, gentlemen, humans, I need recommendations for a good desk chair that's not going to break the bank.
Yeah. What'd you get?
A lot of recommendations for gaming chairs. Thanks, but no thanks.
Do those sit closer to the ground? I know they vibrate. What else is different about them?
They might be so comfortable, but they're so ugly. And mama always said, if it don't hurt, it don't look good. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, his office is your bedroom. You don't want a gaming chair in your bedroom.
So Christina, Taste Bug Christina, she wrote in the group, I almost stole this from my last office because it was so comfortable, but they wouldn't let me take it. Bethany, I need you to Google human scale, all one word, Summa, S-U-M-M-A chair. This is the most gorgeous desk chair I've ever seen, but only millionaires can afford this.
Ooh.
Is this, I mean, I'm having an orgasm looking at this chair. It's so sleek. It's gorgeous. The white one with the blonde wood. Oh my God.
It looks like a living room chair.
It is so
on wheels.
Pretty. It costs the models, the starting price, because this is like buying a car where you can add accoutrements, like a freaking sunroof. The starting price is $4,300.
I'm going to customize my own. Hold on.
Okay, me too.
Let's see what we can add to this human scale desk chair. They're non-spawn, but we would really like them to spawn, please.
Does the chair do your work for you? Because it's insanity.
Let's see. Okay, here's your options.
Yeah.
You can customize what the back is. So like what you're sitting on.
Yeah.
You can do what color you want it to be, what frame you want the color to be.
Yeah.
And then what the casters are.
What the hell is a caster?
Those are the wheels. So
why don't they just call it wheels?
Because caster sounds better. So I want ebony wood.
Yeah.
Which is going to add $1,250 to my price. I am going to want that textile to be umber, not obsidian.
Okay.
So umber.
Okay. Umber.
You could also get glacier or pebble. You could get charcoal or sand.
I think I'm a glacier girl. It's like white.
The frame color has to be polished aluminum, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, you can get standard casters, but for $20 more, you can get soft casters.
Or
for $100, you can get locking casters.
I chose the locking ones for an extra $100.
Yeah, because my floor isn't even, so if I sit on a rolling chair, I just roll.
Yeah.
So
what does your total come to?
$6,494, but if I buy it now, I can get it for $5,100.
Oh, my God. Mine, too. We're twinsies.
Yay!
Can you imagine? I hope this chair is like sitting in clouds. Does anybody have this chair? Please let us know. Other than Taste Bug Christina, who tried to steal it from her job.
I can see why, but the mistake she made was asking. Yeah. It's not stealing if you ask for permission.
You just take it.
I have an issue with buying desk chairs, and here is why.
Okay.
I don't want to buy something that is so readily available everywhere I go.
Why?
Including curbsides. Because every office has a million desk chairs. And if you work at a nice office, your desk chairs are really nice. If you walk down the street in New York, any given day, you're going to find a desk chair on the side of the street. I really struggle to spend a lot of money on something that everyone already seems to have. And I could just take one from an office. They're not going to notice, you know?
I understand that. I get it. And you know, sometimes like office places, you and I could start a side hustle. Maybe we should do this. We should start a side business where we offer to decorate or help pick out furniture for disgusting offices. And it's like so many offices have terrible furniture. So, you know, at our last job, there was that wonderful woman named Molly. I loved Molly.
Wait, where was
you don't remember Molly?
Where was Molly?
Molly was in charge of making sure that we had all the furniture that we needed.
Oh my God, I love Molly.
Yes.
I hope she's well.
She just had a baby.
I totally forgot about Molly. You know why? Because I never saw her. I saw her like intensely for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I never saw her again. Yeah.
I went to like a happy hour and had a very intense conversation with Molly about life. And it will forever leave a mark on my heart.
She was a sweetheart.
She was really nice. I follow her on Instagram. She just had a baby. But Molly's job was to go to different offices for the company and pick out furniture and pick out paint colors, and like make sure the carpeting looked good. And she had such good taste that whenever she came in, I'd be like, Hey, Molly, I think we need new desk tables.
Yeah.
And I would like them to be in shades of cream and white. And she'd be like, okay, yeah, you know what? You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because so many offices are so ugly.
So, so ugly. And like, I'm noticing this more and more because I haven't been in offices for so long. So now when I go into offices, it's sort of new eyes.
Yeah.
And I went into a doctor's office last week and I was noticing they were making very strong choices about what was going to be calming to people.
Yes.
And one of their strong choices was a linen wallpaper that was like a sage green. And it makes sense in theory because green is known to be calming. They use it a lot in like hospitals. Linen is a very soft looking texture.
Yeah.
But when you put it on a wallpaper, it's really hard to match the actual grain and texture together from seam to seam.
Yes.
And they failed. And so it was actually jarring emotionally for me.
Okay.
As I'm waiting, you know, 20 to 30 to 45 minutes for this doctor, I'm just staring at the linen stripes.
This is a part of our business. We're going to be office decorators. So like furniture that's meant to go the distance, you know, like furniture that you is rough and tumble furniture. But also we will add to our resume color experts because different businesses deserve different colors. Like it's a whole science. My gynecologist's office, they just repainted the walls. First of all, they needed a better painter. It is a pet peeve of mine, and I have to fix this in my bathroom. When old walls, when the ceiling is a different color than the wall, and then where the color meets, the paint is all shaky.
I hate it. I hate it. Take the extra time with a smaller brush. Yeah. And do it right.
Yes. I mean, in my bathroom, I'm planning on extending the white from the ceiling down a little bit on the wall to play with proportions that way so I get a cleaner line because, like, the wall is not super even where the ceiling meets the wall. But
oh, that's a good idea.
Businesses need to think about shit like this because if you're at your desk trying to be productive and all you can do is stare at the seam between the wall and the ceiling, like, that is not helping the business.
And heaven forbid you are an employee who is living and thriving with OCD. You're never going to get anything done. And it is your job's, you know what? And as a business, it's not that I'm mad. I'm just disappointed.
Yes.
If you think that you can renovate and get a paint job, but you don't have the money to take a little extra time to make sure those ceilings are done well, then you don't actually have the money to do a paint job.
You
have to wait until you have enough money to, you know, have that one extra person with a little slider doohickey who's going to get the ceiling right.
Exactly. This is all I'm saying. It's not too much to ask.
No, it's certainly
and
not
brown.
Too much. Are you professionals or no?
Can we just ban the color brown?
I'm done with it.
Hate brown.
Look, if there's anything I've learned from domino.com, and I've learned many things, it is that
you talk about domino all the time.
Kathleen, it's all I do. It's the only thing that gets me out of bed in the morning is knowing I have coffee waiting for me and knowing that I have domino.com waiting for me, also non-spawn.
Do you know what? I almost went to domino.com last night because behind me, like this podcast wall behind me, I really would like to do a gallery wall, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Because behind you, Bethany, you have all sorts of interesting things.
I have a sink and I have a mug. I have a fridge.
Someone was asking on the Facebook fan page the other day, or maybe it was the regular Acquired Taste page, about your backsplash. They loved your backsplash. So I pretended to be you and I answered as you. And I was like, well, I was like, the tile was like that when I moved in. Like, I don't know too much about it. It's not peel and stick. Wish I could help you more.
Oh, that was actually perfect. Thank you. You nailed it because it's legit tile. It's real. They did a great job.
You have so many interesting, cool things to look at behind you. And I just have like this stupid wall with this ill-placed shelf that I keep all my plants on. So I'm going to do something behind me. And I was like, I should go to Domino to get some good ideas.
They have great ideas for gallery walls, actually.
How did we end up here talking about desk chairs?
I don't know. And I often, when we have episodes like this, which I have a lot of fun recording, my brain does go to like our negative reviews where people are like, I really like them, but why do they always talk about, and I'm like, well, there's nothing that can be done because here's another one of those.
You know, baby girl, you cannot please everybody.
We can't please a lot of people, apparently. Can we talk really quickly about an email that we got from a taste bud who is after my own heart?
Okay.
This is from Katie. Katie says, you may use my real name, but I would not be upset to get an old-timey one. So, Katie, we're going to call you
Katie. Katie's like a classic old-fashioned name.
I know, but Katie said they wouldn't be upset to get an old-timey name.
All right.
I think, like, Elspeth von Vinderhoffen.
Okay, sure.
Of the Long Island Vinderhoffens.
Okay.
are
they related to the Long Island medium? Because it's just...
Oh my God, they are. But they are not related to the Finger Lakes Vinderhoffens.
By the way, Long Island medium, one of the nicest ladies I've ever met, honestly.
And accurate.
So, yeah, and her son is very good looking.
Oh, I don't remember her son.
I do.
He must have come in the same day as Molly because I blacked out that day, apparently. Okay, so Elspeth says, hello, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm a relatively new listener, but I know in my heart that I am coming to the right place for this advice. Welcome.
Welcome.
To the family, first of all. She says, I recently bought a house. It's been a shit show. They didn't do anything right. I recently took down the two oversized mirrors the former owners had hanging above the bathroom sinks.
Okay.
To find that the mirrors were put up to hide massive holes that they made when they put new lighting in and never bothered fixing the drywall. Kathleen, have you seen the movie Candyman?
Can't say I have.
This reminded me of Candyman.
Okay.
Anyone who sees Candyman, she takes down the thing and there's a big hole and she goes into it and then everything falls apart. So anyway, she says, Elspeth Katie says, before I patch these holes up, I'd like to find something weird slash creepy to put in the walls before I close them up. I considered putting my creepy Halloween baby dolls that say things like, you dropped me and I broke. That made me angry. But I could never part with them. Who has these dolls? That's amazing that you just have them.
This is a great question.
Yeah. So Katie says, please hit me with your creepiest suggestions. If I ever sell this house again, I want the future owners to find strange things if they open up the walls. This is the most wonderful email that I feel like we've gotten in a really long time.
I would start with handwriting a couple of things about how the world has been this year, and I would laminate it.
Okay. Yeah.
So when they open up the wall again in 50 years, they get a firsthand account of, like, we bought this house in a pandemic. It was real cheap.
It's really cool when you find, like, newspaper of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'd be very cool. That's a great idea.
I would go to Goodwill and I would look for stuff at Goodwill to put in the wall. Like,
yeah,
creepy baby dolls that you can, like, paint, like, gouge the eyes out.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah,
dye their hair pink or something.
Yeah.
And I would put maybe, like, a love poem.
Ooh, a love poem to Neil, or, like, as though somewhat, like, from a fictional relationship.
To the person opening the wall.
What would you say?
I'd say, dear person who's either knocking my house down or renovating my house, I bought this house and my job was this, and thank you for taking care of this hoe. I don't know. You're
being really sweet about it.
What would you put in the wall?
Okay, here's what I would put.
Uh-huh.
I would put
a skeleton,
a piece of paper, mm-hmm, and I would write on it as though I had slowly been losing my mind. So I would write, like, it would start with really nice handwriting. This would be probably over several days that I would really work on it. And I would be, like, writing my thoughts, and the thoughts would get increasingly troublesome. Like,
yeah,
I heard a woman outside my window today yelling. Normally she just delivers the groceries, but this time her shrieks became more urgent. We'll investigate. And then, you know, the next thing is just like, now the voices seem to be coming from inside this wall. We'll investigate. And then it's like, finally heard the voice. And there's like a fingernail that's like included. And then it looks like it's blood. And it's just like, they won't stop. They won't stop. And then just letters. And I would shove that in the wall.
Oh, you need to cut off some of your hair and tape it to the paper.
Okay. So Kathleen, this is interesting. So I posed the question on our Instagram story this morning, and there were many themes that showed up. One of them was hair. One of them was dolls. So
yeah, what is that? Why is everybody putting dolls and hair in the wall?
Because they're both inherently very creepy. So here's what some people said. So Christina said that she would put her old Beanie Babies in the wall, which I think is a very smart way, because what else are you going to do with all those Beanie Babies?
Not the Princess Di one, because that one is worth $25,000.
But is it actually? Because I feel so many people have it.
And it is my retirement plan.
It's not going to be that though, honey, because so many people have it. Okay, sorry.
Yuck my yum. I'm going to bring that Princess Diana Beanie Baby to my financial advisor's office when I go.
Please do. Make sure I'm with you.
This is my 401k. It's purple.
Sal's going to love that. Okay. Wonderski79 on Instagram said, my house is already haunted, so I would put old women's clothing from the 1930s.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that. Jenna said, put a box of teeth. And then said, to be clear, I do not have a box of teeth. So you'd have to procure some teeth and then put a teeth in there.
Did you hear that voicemail that we got at the end? I put it at the end of the last episode. It was about teeth. It was a taste bud. She called in and she's like, this story reminded me of when Kathleen was doing her, like, teeth thievery, tooth crimes of the tooth.
Yeah.
This old kooky woman that this taste bud used to work with took a biology class in college where she ended up taking home like a canister of teeth and she kept it in a jar above her sink. And then one day it fell and it clogged her sink with all these random teeth. And then when the plumber had to come over, he opened up the bottom of the pipes and all these teeth poured out. And then he just left the house. He didn't say anything. Can you imagine finding a jar of teeth in a wall? You'd be like, this is some fucked up dentist.
Look at this jar of teeth.
Look at that.
I used to keep all of my baby teeth. Like, when my family went back to try to save my childhood, my dad was throwing everything away. We went and, like, saved and went through all of our old childhood stuff, and I found a blue plastic star box with a duck on the cover. And then inside were all of my old teeth that I had saved as I lost them. And my family shamed me and made me throw them away because they said it was really creepy. I would give so much money to have all those teeth back.
Families should save generations of teeth.
I mean, and just keep adding them, like a, you know, you used to do the sand art where you would layer different color sand. Do that, but with teeth.
Yeah, why not? I have a tooth of yours. Remember when had that little blue plastic container with an old molar in it or something? Uh-huh. And you kept just putting it in my bag. And I'd be like, Brittany, stop putting your tooth in my bag. Well, I put it in my medicine drawer where I keep like all my pills and stuff. And one day Neil was like, is this Bethany's tooth? When he's looking for the Motrin.
I do like that he assumes it was mine because I'm the only type of friend who would give you her tooth.
I'm going to save my kids' teeth. And then moving forward, I'm going to teach all the generations to save their teeth in a single jar. And then you can see all the family's tooth history in one place.
And by the way, if you have any teeth that you want to get rid of, send them our way. P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Do you know that I'm a part of a group on Facebook called Things Found in Walls - Other Hidden Things? No. It's a private group.
How did you find yourself a part of this?
I don't know anything. I'm an Alice in Wonderland on a trip to anywhere and anytime. There are almost 500,000 people in here.
Good Lord.
And someone found in their wall the other day, found this old tin of antique Cracker Jack toys from an old farmhouse in my wall.
Fun.
And people are just responding with dollar signs. Apparently old Cracker Jack toys are worth a lot of money.
I bet, because that kind of stuff people weren't, you know, saving. Now that I feel like anything that has been made since the inception of eBay is not valuable because enough people have it and know about eBay, you know?
Yes. And websites like Everything But The House, EBTH.com.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorites. And also like Poshmark too.
Yeah.
Because things that were once hard to get, like they're not hard to get anymore.
They're not hard to get. They're not hard to get.
Ooh, someone found in their ceiling a gun, a Kilgore. Shoot. It's all silver. Oh, never mind. It's a toy.
Oh.
Damn it.
I mean, it's probably safer.
No, I got excited.
I think this is our friend Kristen.
Oh.
Said, my old ventriloquist doll is what she would put in the wall. Plastic bags with locks of hair.
Yeah.
Let's see. A doll's head. There's the doll again. These are other suggestions. A lock of my hair.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some teeth or a lock of hair. So we're getting a lot of hair, a lot of teeth.
Everyone's obsessed with teeth and hair.
I like this one. A diary predicting random events on future dates. So this is from Maddie Blythe. Maddie gets it. Destroyed Ouija board. Charred and stuff. Scratch a message on the Ouija board.
Yep.
My dog's baby teeth collection. I love that she saved her dog's baby teeth. A sheet soaked in fake blood and a knife.
Oh, that's a good one.
This one's great. This is from Emily. Emily says, a ton of VHS tapes with crazy names, but they're all just fuzzy TV except one.
I saw a meme the other day. It was like a random box of VHS tapes, and it was like, you never know what you're going to get. Is it going to be porn, or is it going to be Christmas 1996?
Or is it going to be the last video you ever watch? One person said a Furby, and then my favorite suggestion is from Jesse J.
Yeah.
Says, a list of people's names with some of them crossed off. I think that's very clever.
I put some wine in there.
Oh, yeah. Stuff you know is going to age well. Stuff you know is not going to age well.
Like Trader Joe's $2 chuck.
Yep, totally.
So I have this question. How do you know if a bottle is going to age well?
I have no idea.
I got to ask Neil's Uncle Steve. Uncle Steve once told me that if I had a question about a bottle aging, that I should just send him a picture of the label and he would look it up. But I wonder if he subscribes to a website that'll tell you.
Yeah. I mean, is it like it has to be over a certain price point?
When I was in San Diego in November, Uncle Steve opened up a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon from 1987.
Jeez.
And I was, Uncle Steve, like, how did you know in 1987 that you should hang on to this bottle?
Yeah, because it's not like it's a certain type. Because there's really bad Cabernets. I had one a couple nights ago. And then there's like really good ones.
To kind of just switch topics here for a hard left for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to go to the doctor on Monday.
Okay. What's up?
So I've been having like really intense back pain ever since I got COVID. Mm. So I'm like, okay, I probably need my blood work checked. But this is the first time that I'm getting a physical where my, and I know it's like so silly, but it's where my BMI is definitely too high. And like, I've recognized that. And I like, I'm working to get a new therapist to help me with some of my binge eating problems that night.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that when I go to the doctor and I'm like, okay, I have like this weird pins and needles, my like my toes are numb and my back is hurting and I think my kidneys are decrepit inside my body, I'm afraid that they're going to brush me off because women of certain sizes get brushed off at the doctor's office.
Mm. Do you have a doctor you normally go to, like a trusted?
No, I just go to a practice and whoever's around I go.
So here's a couple things. Because I see what you're saying. I totally see what you're saying.
Yeah. And they're just gonna be like, well, you gotta lose weight.
Which is like, I wish
yeah.
in order to get your doctor's like medical license, you have to have had a weight problem.
No, I agree.
Because like, I know you can, and that's a super big problem of like keeping people, like you have to have a certain level of understanding what it's like to struggle with your weight.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you don't even get to choose like who you see?
No. But you know what? I'm going to take note. I think it's a guy. I'm hoping that it's a woman. I prefer female doctors in general, except for my gynecologist. He's the most lovely little man. Actually, he's really tall.
He crawls right up and I was going to say.
Oh, gosh. So here's the thing. Also, something that I didn't talk about on the pod that happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I was at my mom's house. And I hadn't eaten all day, so I was like really going to town on this bag of chips. Mm-hmm. And Neil was there, and my mom and Neil were upstairs. And the house is really old, and there's basically no furniture in it, so voices travel. And I, you know what? I heard my mom whisper to my husband.
Oh no, what?
I heard her whisper, "Do you think she's 200 pounds?" Is that not the? It was just so fucked up. Is that not the craziest thing?
Oh my God.
Well, this podcast really took a turn.
No, I didn't Kathleen, mean to that do this. Is so hurtful. It's oh so my hurtful. God.
And I could hear it all. I'm downstairs and I can hear all of it because the house just ricochets sound. And I like didn't talk to my mom for a whole week. And I really like laid it into her. Like, is my value of a human what I weigh? Like, is that all you see when you look at me? Because I'm a good daughter and I'm creative and I'm scrappy and I'm smart.
And by the way, you're like giving all of your time to her right now.
I know.
You're renovating her entire house single-handedly.
And so like, it's a lot of this. And now I have to go get a physical for the first time being like at a weight where I really shouldn't be health-wise. Yeah. And I'm really nervous for Monday.
So valid. I totally hear you. It is super vulnerable and it sucks. Mm. I would go in and like tell them your thoughts before anything else.
Yeah.
So go in and say, look, here's the deal. I have an eating disorder. I am working on it. I am not where I normally am, and I do not feel great in my body. So what I need from you to help me get through this is A, don't tell me how much I weigh.
Yeah.
B, don't tell me what my BMI is.
Yeah.
Make sure I don't see the chart when you mark it down. Please let the nurses know that as well.
Yeah.
C, if you think that what I'm feeling right now is weight related, great, but I want you to keep in mind that other things might be the problem too. Let's have like a dialogue about this. Like,
yeah,
be harsh about it if you need to.
Yes. And if it is weight related, like, yes, tell me that by all means. Don't sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something that's been on my mind.
It sucks. It sucks so much. And you are so not alone, Kathleen, in like not recognizing what your body looks like at the end of this pandemic.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm not just speaking for myself. Like, I have friends who have said to me, I don't know what that my body doesn't look like what my body should look like right now. Like, you are not alone in that feeling.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true or not. A taste bud left us a voicemail because I did mention BMI. I was joking that now that my BMI is considered obese, I can go get in line for a vaccine earlier. Because, you know, there's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, sure is.
She left us a voicemail, and I don't know if this is true, but she said that the BMI measurement was created by Nazis to distinguish a typical European body versus a body that was fuller. I don't, which would be other races.
By eugenics autofilled. So if it's top 10 reasons why the BMI, so this is on NPR.
Yeah.
Top 10 reasons why the BMI is bogus.
Yeah.
I've never been a BMI that's like considered healthy because I'm so tall and dense.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. You've got muscles.
Number one, the person, by the way, the article is by Keith Devlin.
Okay.
From 2009. So the article is pretty old, but it's the top result. The person who dreamed of the BMI said explicitly it could not and should not be used to indicate the level of fatness in an individual.
Yeah, because muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah, the person who developed it was a mathematician, not a physician.
Oh, interesting.
It is scientifically nonsensical. This is number two. There's no physiological reason to square a person's height. Moreover, it ignores waist size, which is a clear indicator of obesity level. It's physiologically wrong. It gets the logic wrong.
Interesting.
It's bad statistics. It's
so it's
lying.
Bogus.
Yeah. This doesn't say anything about Nazis.
Okay. So, gentle listener, take that with a grain of salt and do your own research.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
This is literally, I'm Googling while the internet is slow because I'm using my recording. So... But yeah, I think that anytime you go to the doctor,
yeah,
you need to be really straightforward about what you are anxious about. Mm. You know,
it's hard. Sometimes it's hard. And that is why I'm excited to sign up with Talkspace, because then I have access to my therapist at any time, because I think this applies mm-hmm. to medical doctors too. You go in there and you're like, okay, I want to talk to them about this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And then you get nervous and you're like, oh, I'm good. All's mm-hmm. fine. Just here.
And you can like immediately get a vibe on a doctor mm-hmm. too. And if you feel like you're not safe,
yeah,
then you're just going to shut down and you're not going to talk about anything.
Yeah.
And I think it's good for doctors or any healthcare professional, you know, that you're meeting in a room for the first time to know what your thing is, because this doctor may think that you're totally fine. Some people are totally fine with their weight and have no issues no matter what their size.
Yeah.
They may just assume that's you, and they may have the resources to be a little bit more gentle if they know you need that.
Yes.
So you have to tell them what you need, you know?
Bethany, that's the best advice ever. They may have the resources to be a little bit more gentle. You just have to tell them what you need.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You're so wise. You're so wise.
I just have had an eating disorder for so long. But yeah, I mean, look, thank you. I'll come in with you. Fuck it. You know I will.
This is my advocate.
We're not even in the same pod.
This is my partner in life and business. She is my mm-hmm. business lover and my health advocate, mm-hmm. Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes fake attorney.
Sometimes fake attorney.
If needed.
It's like on Friends when Phoebe pretended to be Joey's agent. She's like, this is I'm Joey's agent.
Or on Schitt's Creek when Alexis pretended to be David and the store owner's lawyers.
You know what? I have pretended to be former employers for Friends so they could get new jobs. You do what you gotta do.
I've done the opposite. I have been someone's former colleague and glowed so much about them because they were so amazing that the person thought I was fake and lying, because
oh
I was like,
goodness,
this person's amazing. And the potential employer was like, how many, you know, show ideas did this person come up with? And I was like, honestly, like 95% of our ideas.
Oh my goodness.
And like they were, but I think the person didn't believe me.
What would you do if someone called you to get a reference and you really didn't like that person?
This I don't know, because...
Because I've had former interns who, like, you always... It is just general courtesy to give someone a heads up before you put them down as a reference.
Of course.
So your prospective employer, like, doesn't call and you're like, who is that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it behooves everyone to know what's going on.
Because I've had interns who didn't give me a heads up and they were not interns that I necessarily liked. And I was like, oh, God.
So what did you do? What did you say?
It's like, you know what? I don't even remember at this point. I think that I was just like, they were sufficient. Like, there weren't any major problems, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's what you have to do. I think you have to, like... not be a jerk, but maybe yeah. just be honest that you don't necessarily, you're like, they were great. I think you have to tell yeah. it with your tone so that anything in writing can't be linked back to you being awful. But you're like, they were great.
They were great. They were great.
You know what? They never killed my cat.
Nope.
And that is a bonus. And that, gentle listener, was a bonus episode.
Goodbye.